actions. So while I know, and I was just, if I'm just talking about myself, I know that when I'm worshiping or my hands are raised, there's times I'm saying words that my brain is other places. All right, and I know we're all that way. That's just how we are, because we do this automatically, sometimes robotically. And you know, and I feel a little guilty sometimes, like, Lord, I'm sorry I wasn't there, so I'd maybe give God a little bit more of an effort. And I'm not saying I'm addicted to that problem, or it's a something that's, you know, I have to deal with on a professional level. It just happens. We get off track, and I realize we all do that. But you know, the devil doesn't know. He doesn't know you're not plugged in, that maybe that one of those praise the Lords were not, you know, legal. He doesn't know. And so that's kind of neat that he has no idea, except when I'm saying this, and he's probably thinking, I'll give me a strategy. But what's he going to do? I'm praising God. He don't know if my mind's just convicted about it and connected. He doesn't know. The only thing he can do is watch what you do. That's all he can do. To map a strategy, the enemy watches what you do. And when I'm singing praises, I might be thinking, this is the worst day of my life, but I'm singing to God. And the devil's like, how is he doing that? See, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Now, I think he can read over your shoulder when you're on Facebook and you post something, you know, or you're texting. I think he can read your text. So it's good to realize what he does know and what he doesn't know. Amen. We serve a God that gives us a way. I want to talk about strength, because we love strength training. I was going to say how many weightlifters, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to put people on the spot. I've lifted weights. I had some in my garage, and every now and then I have to lift them and move them out of the way. Seriously. And I thought, every time I'd like, I really should be lifting these on a regular basis. And I kind of did, but it was just, you know, every few years when you'd move them over. But you know a person has been at it because it shows. And we gain strength through things like that. I realize exercise is good. I'm not talking about that tonight. But we have weaknesses that come and go because we're human beings. And I want to talk about the strength that God gives us. We're aware of what I'm going to talk about, all right? I'm not going to surprise anybody with a depth that you've never heard about or seen. But many things we talk about are reminders. And I love reminders. You know, anyone ever ask you about a book and it's an amazing book and you forgot about it, that you had it or that you read it, and you're like, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to go back and read that again. You know, reminders are good. Okay, maybe not a book, maybe a restaurant. Maybe that's more in line. You know, I need to go back and eat there again. We all have those moments. But reminders allow us to go back and repeat something and visit that again. Zechariah 4, and I'm going to read 6 verses. It's Wednesday night. We're not going to read all chapters. We're going to read 6 verses of Zechariah chapter 4 in the New King James. Now, the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. Zechariah's writing this and had revelations from God. He said to me, what do you see? And I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and the stand on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes going down to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, on one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said unto me, this is the word to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You need to understand what needs to happen and to rebuild the walls, to rebuild the city, to do the things that are in disarray and needs to be repaired. You're not going to do it by your might or by your power, but it's going to be by my spirit. Your challenge is going to be something my spirit is going to help you with. And I get excited about verses like this because it reminds me of our benefits. We have a great benefit package, And when we understand how much God actually does for us, the strength He gives us, the strength that's at our disposal, the miracle power that's at our disposal, we need to take advantage of that because He's given it to us. There's things we can't do, and God does it for us. I want to go to Acts 1 and verse 6 through 8. When therefore we were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in His own power. It's not for you to know that. It's going to happen. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That, He said, let's put it where you really live. It's not about the kingdom right now. And it would have been difficult for Him to, for Jesus to answer that question and put it in perspective without revealing futures and prophecies that we don't need to know. So He said, here's something that does apply to you. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses and be both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. One chapter later, that's what was happening. You know, the Lord is not going to bring something so awesome and powerful to you and say, here's what's going to happen, and 50 years later, you may be at the doorstep. He's going to come to you when it's relevant. And God is saying this today to this church. There's something very relevant about His power. He's ready to do powerful things. We are set up, church. We have been set up, not in a negative way, but God has set the stage for His power to operate. And He's going to operate through you and me. He's going to operate in ways that you don't believe it could happen, but He'll start small and He'll start using you. We have our youth class in today, and tonight I'm aware of that, and I want them to know He's going to start using our youth. Avail yourself of God's presence, and He will start using you. He will use you. The power of God is going to flow through you. Not everyone displays the power at the same time or in the same measure, but the power of God is evident when we do things that we couldn't have done without it. We say things, we become things, we stand in a certain place, and God uses us in a way that we could not have been used without His power. We need to avail ourselves of what He's given to the church. And don't discount yourself. Don't think, well, I'm not. When you start a sentence with that, you need to understand God uses the nots. He uses that. He uses the deficiencies of man to bring His glory even greater to the surface. He likes to use things that, and the Bible tells us, it's not many mighty, not many noble, not many strong. He uses the weak to confound the wise. God uses the things that are not as though they were. He loves to use vessels that are simply willing. Willing vessels. Willing vessels. How many great stories in the Bible have to do with widows? New Testament and Old. Widows, women that didn't have a provider. The Lord loved using those that seemed to not have a way because He said, here we go. I'm the way. I'm the way. If we ever, you know, shift our focus from the power of God to the comfort of larger crowds, and don't be seduced by a growing church. Don't let that seduce you and think, well, we can sit down now. That means we've got to really get on board and run with this thing. Here's the reason why. If a larger church ever gets lazy and figures, well, somebody's doing it for us, let's just enjoy the ride. If you ever get to that place, it is contagious because it's in our nature just to step back and let. Just to step back and say, somebody can do this. If we ever get to that place, it'll be remarkable how quickly a spirit of lethargy takes over because everyone gets comfortable. I don't want to get comfortable. I don't want us to get comfortable. I want us to enjoy the power of God working through us to do great exploits. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everybody say great exploits. Great exploits. I'm glad you said that. That was good. Because we're going to do great exploits. Amen. Our identity is bound up in our understanding that we are Holy Ghost-centered. Amen. We're not just people that, well, we got the Holy Ghost at some point. Some of us have plaques or certificates for it. We were baptized. We got that. It's not just about that. We have to be front and center with the power of God's Spirit surging through us at all times. And then we can be used by God to do things through His Spirit, not through our ability. We have to have a willingness. He uses our willingness. He uses what we can be, but not by might or power. He said, my Spirit. It's by my Spirit. In rebuilding the temple, we were reading here, the restoring of Jerusalem, God lets Zechariah know that this enormous undertaking can only be done by a spirit, and that's all. It's got to be done by the spirit, and not might or human strength is going to bring it to pass. He said, it's got to be by me, and certainly not by allowing our old nature to lead, you know. Then after Calvary and before Pentecost, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he reiterates the same theme by telling the disciples what I just read to you, that you don't need to know the timing of God's whole plan. We don't need to know when and what. He goes, but this just you're gonna receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We've received it. Many of you have received. Most of you here have received the Holy Ghost. And because you're not feeling something surging right now doesn't mean that you've lost some of it. Think about what the Holy Spirit is. It's God within. That's what it is. It's God within. Well, I'm kind of cold in the spirit. You just need to press your flesh down. And when you do that, the Spirit of God's going to grow in you. Amen. If we get our way, God doesn't get his way. And so we get off balance. We do. We get off balance. It's kind of like your wife makes a cake, or the husband makes a cake. Husband's going to make great cakes. I can't. But, you know, somebody makes a cake, and it's sitting on the cabinet, you may have people over, and a third of the cake's gone. When they leave, two-thirds are still there. You can't let that sit there. You're going to have cake. And I've done this, and you have too. Get up in the morning, cup of coffee. Well, I have some cake. You know what? 10 minutes after you eat it, you feel like you've had cake. You don't feel like you've had eggs. You don't feel like you've had protein. You feel like you've had cake. You want to go back to bed. So you drink another cup of coffee because it's the answer to everything. Just a little bit of cake then, not a whole piece, but just a little bit. You get the knife. And have you ever seen a cake that everybody's passed by and it looks butchered? Oh, I've seen many cakes like that. We'll tear a cake up because it's just, we don't want to eat a big piece. We eat several small pieces that equal a piece and a half. That's my problem. But the deal is, you go back to the cake time and time again, and you just feel cruddy. And you look back and think, I wish I'd have done something better than cake this morning, but it tastes so good. So we can't be strong if we follow our flesh. Does that mean that I don't have muscles anymore? Does it mean I don't have willpower? Well, I'm struggling with the willpower, obviously, with the cake. But I still have the capability. I still have the ability to do right and good things. It's just I've got sidelined by cake. See, that's a good analogy of just how we are with spiritual things. We have the Holy Ghost, and we'll reach down to grab our Bible and say, well, what's this? And it's not a Bible. It's something else that's a little more appetizing, a little more exciting to read and look at, and might be a remote control, nice shiny thing, and it turns things on. And we get drawn away, and we look at the Bible thinking, I need to get into that, but whoa, this is really exciting because our flesh loves it. Does it mean you're backslid and now God doesn't love you? It means you had cake. All right, you just had cake. You need to shove the cake away and get your spirit fed with something that puts you in line and in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's really cause and effect. It's not mysterious. It's really not. The reason you feel up one day and down the next spiritually is because one day you ate good food and the next day you had cake. That's why you just, if you're going to eat cake, you're going to feel like cake eating. You're just going to be sick and nothing's there, no energy, no protein. But if you feed your spirit, I want to tell you just a confession to you. Not really a confession, it's just an admittance. But if I do not pray when I get up in the morning, within the first hour, if I don't pray then, it is very hard to grab time because there's things that happen. And so for me, that has to be my time. That's my golden hour is when I first get up. And I get up before anybody in the house, and I like that. I don't want to set alarms for everyone. That's my time. I'd say, y'all go back to bed. You can get up and eat cake later. I'm going to pray. No, really, it's not like that. But that's for me. Other people, I was talking to a man one time, and he said, my favorite time of the day is sun goes down in the evening, everybody goes to bed, and I go into my man cave or basement or whatever, I don't remember. He said, and I just get alone with God. I said, well, if I did that, you know, I'd be alone with God, but I'd be sleeping, and it'd have to be something he could deal with there because I would fall asleep. That's just me. I'm a morning person. The moment I wake up, I'm as awake as I'm going to be throughout the day. Now, it's the opposite in the evening. I just wilt, I weave, I just fall asleep. My wife will wake me up saying, right in the middle of my sentence, you just do that? And I don't know what she's talking about. It happens. I don't want to get into something negative here, but that's just about timing. You've got to know yourself, though. Socrates said, know thyself. You've got to know your weaknesses and your strength. What is your golden hour? What do you need to do to feed the Spirit? All right. So that power is what still enables us today. We know by experience. And you know, there's some here today who, you know, never maybe been to the city limits, you know, of knockout power. I don't know, but I think most of you have. I think you know what it's like to feel the surging power of the Holy Ghost. I don't live on that level, though. I live down here where a little bit of cake, some more protein, some prayer, meditation, Word of God, a balanced life, a balanced life. Lord, the Lord didn't make us to walk on water. No. It'd be great if we did. But I'm glad that He gives us the ability to live a balanced life. And then there's days you fast. There's days you pray throughout the day, perhaps. And it gives you strength, and that's something that'll help you surge. But overall, you got a job. You better do your job right. Don't be like that young man I've told you about that, you know, came to the car and got his lunch. I was going to give him a ride to work today. I just want my lunch. You go to work. I'm going to stay here and pray. You know, he got fired. Brand new convert, brand new job. Got fired because he wanted to stay there and pray and eat his lunch. We got to use our brains, and I know we do. But thank God that He's given us something to engage in a going church, in a growing church. The Spirit will challenge you to come forward. It will challenge you to live on that plane so that when the time comes, you can walk in the Holy Ghost. What do we do with you know, the problem areas that we face? 2 Corinthians 12, 7, and I'm going to go through verse 10. Lest I should be exalted above measure, the apostle saying, by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, every one of us probably, when we read about that scripture that Paul says, I had a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. We probably all felt that we had the thorn in the flesh. Don't punch your wife or husband. That's not it. God did not give that one to you. It's something else. I hope not. But he said it was a thorn, and it was some, and people have speculated what it was. He didn't say what it was. The apostle, who could say anything he wanted to say, didn't say, so I'm not going to speculate. But he just said it was a thorn in the flesh. It buffeted me. The messenger of Satan, it brought me down. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord is not going to let you walk around being all strong and mighty, but He's going to let your weakness be exploited. He's going to let it be revealed. And when your weakness is revealed, He's going to say, that's my strength right there. You're making it because you can't, and there's where I can. And me and you are going to do this together because you can't do it without God. And He loves to do it with His church. So when we have our weakness revealed and we know that God is going to be there with us to help us through, that's a wonderful thing, wonderful thing. There's not many mighty. He said there's not many noble. And I'll tell you, just in my, you know, arena of knowing preachers, evangelists, and pastors, there's not, I don't know if I could name any that I could say just perfectly well-rounded specimen of a orator. You don't see those. There's men who carry burdens. It's men who know what it is to weep before God. And just for their natural life, they have battles that they fight. That's who God chooses, not the mighty, not the noble. He picks those that can communicate and can feel the same affections of the people in the congregation or the people they preach to. They can feel a likeness. They can feel similarities in those characters. That's the kind of people that God chooses. So don't think tonight about yourself and say, you know, I'm the worst off. Don't ever label yourself the worst of anything. You need to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I may not be at the level I want to be, but I'm moving up, and God is going to lift me to a higher place. the important reason for what I'm teaching tonight, one of the things that's important about it, is we need to get connected to where we truly know we are an integral part of the kingdom of God, so that we know we have enough invested that a small thing can't pull us out of the church. Amen. We can't get upset, or we can't just turn around and get frustrated and say, I just can't do this. Don't get to that point. Understand, we're all very much alike. We all fight battles, and God is on our side. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, he said, that's when I'm strong. When I'm down, that's when I'm up. It just doesn't make sense, but only in the kingdom of God. When I'm weak, I'm strong. There's not too many people like Apostle Paul today. He is special. But we're willing vessels. And we need to pay attention to how Paul approached his issues. He said, I have a thorn. Something that weakened him. Something that frustrated him. Something that he pled with God about. And something that God likely never took away from the apostle. But Jesus said that, you know, Paul could count on perfect strength in his weakness. You got a problem area? Just turn it over to him and say, Lord, I invite you to come into my patio of just uncool things. Deficiencies, weaknesses, frustrations. We all go to those places to where we think no one else deals with this. But you know what? We're not that much different. We tend to put our Holy Ghost on display during worship. It's all right. You know, it's good. But it's not needed there. You know, it's not needed. I've been to ladies' conference, but I peeked in the door, walked in once, walked back out. It's not men's, it's ladies. A little envious of the crowd they had there. You know, like about three times what men's was, but it's okay. I'm okay with that. But my, what a presence of God in that place as they were worshiping. You ladies were there. What an awesome, awesome atmosphere. But that's not the battlefield. That's refueling. That's recharging the batteries. That's not the battlefield. Often is you're by yourself. It's you in the job and three people around you that don't really believe like you, and two of them don't really like you very much. That's the battlefield. It's the boss that just taunts you, asks you questions, and puts you in an awkward position. That's the battlefield. But see, it's needed. That's where the Spirit is needed, where we struggle, where we are frustrated, where we can't. That's where God says you can. You know, your temptations, your temper, anger, self-righteousness, self-justification, secret indulgences, private weaknesses, whatever it might be, that's where the Holy Ghost needs to dwell, that he can make us anew. You know, I every time we come here, I hope on Sundays that we have great altar services. Why? Because you never know how much we need. Somebody needs to be there to pour their heart out and to get refueled, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to feel up and not down. Lord, let us be sensitive to one another, that we speak words of encouragement to each other, lifting them up with our words and our prayers, because we don't know who we're talking to. We don't know what that person is going through. Simon Peter cut off Malchus's ear. You know, he got a little upset. That wasn't Holy Ghost. That wasn't time. He hadn't had it yet. They were, you know, days away from it, but he cuts his ear off. Jesus puts the ear back and turned to Peter. You know, I see Jesus just taking his hand and putting it back and just touching him and turning immediately to Peter, saying, what do you think you're doing? Put the sword up. And this man's going, oh my goodness, he just put an ear back on my head. But Jesus' attention is not, how do you like the ear? It wasn't about that. Y'all are crucifying me, but sorry about that. This guy shouldn't have done it. Now, what are you doing with your sword out? This is not the time for it. You don't need to take it out. You know, you later, after Simon had received the Holy Ghost, some years later, he's in the jail, guarded by 16 sword-wielding soldiers, and the gates of the jail open on their own. Four gates. He goes out, one, two, or three gates, walks out, and he's standing in the middle of the street, like, how did I do this? See, Simon, you still don't need your sword. They got swords, but God's done a work in you now. That's what Jesus was talking about. You don't fight on an earthly human level. That's why we have to take these bodies and win the battle with our bodies. We need to win the battle with cake. We've got to live in the Spirit. We've got to live balanced lives. We've got to let the Word of God and prayer and meditation on the things that are spiritual be a part of our daily diet. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word, he said, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This, he said, is what you're aiming at right here. Do the things that make for good church, good living, spiritual things. You know, we receive the Holy Ghost and we know it. We feel great in church and the worship is wonderful. But what I'm wanting to elevate today is you are a vessel with such great potential. You can do great things for God. Great things for God. Don't discount yourself. See, we sit back and say, that's a spiritual giant, that's a spiritual giant, that person. And don't sit back and try to qualify and disqualify. I want you to realize that it's not you, it's God in you. He's a great big God. He can do what He wants to if you'll get out of His way and say, Lord, work through me and do great things. I'm ready to see you do something awesome. Amen. He'll do those things for you. Church, there are some bubbling, simmering, awesome things about to explode in this church. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's not a spiritual matter, as you can look around and see God is doing great works. I'm excited about all the details that are coming together with our small groups and our training and people getting the Holy Ghost and living for God. And I'm excited about these things. Church growth is wonderful. Preparation for it is awesome. And God's going to do greater works than these. Joel 3:9, proclaim you this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your swords or your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Yes. Let the weak, turning it around, say, everybody say, I am strong. See, some of you said it and you're strong, but some of the weak said, I am strong. Say it one more time. I am strong. The Bible said to say that. You know why? Because if you say it enough, you start believing what you're saying. Because you're challenging it, saying, why wouldn't I be strong? It's not me. It's God dwelling within me. Of course I'm strong. I'm not just strong. I'm mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. I'm not settling for the status quo. I'm going to walk into the devil's territory and pull strongholds down. And then I'm going to interrupt his business that he's got going on because he's picked on me too many times. Amen. It's not about just surviving. No, we're way beyond surviving. We're getting on offense and taking territories away from him. Amen. Think about pulling down strongholds. That's what God has given the ability for us to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By God's grace, Holy Ghost power, you can say that. I'm strong. Amen. We can say it. How do they say that? Through the power working in us, we can say, I'm strong. Wait, I don't feel. Let me get just something out of the way here. The word feel, we use it a lot, and I do too. I go, it feels good in here. I feel God. No scripture everywhere, anywhere about it. Why? Because you can't quantify it. How do you say it? How do you measure the feeling? Well, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 7. Who's 7? You can't. The Lord's all wise. And so he never put feeling. Emotion is in there of joy and peace and happiness and so forth. But what we feel? Mm-mm. Sunday, I felt like on a scale of, if 10 was like walking on clouds and 1 was, you know, just getting up out of the ditch, I felt about a 2 on Sundays just from being wore out. Just ladies' conference and driving to Ocala twice in one day, you know, or back from twice. My wife really, really took a hit, took one for the team. She did. She drove me back while I studied. But I was up here just, and I knew what it was. Some years ago, maybe in my younger years, I might have thought, I must be backslid. I knew exactly. I thought, I didn't sleep very much, and I am wore out. And so I could honestly say I was going on fumes, but God can still use that. I wasn't going to get up here and say, please forgive me for not being able to, you know, be as active or be, you know. There's a lot of tired people here Sunday. I don't know if y'all realize that. But I didn't go home disappointed and oh, Lord, I need another job. I need to get another church. It seems like we've been there before. It's just like, you know, you felt like I did. I felt like some of you did. That's just how it is. So how does the weak say they're strong? They say it through that power. You got to say it through what's working in you, not by what you're feeling. You got to know your God is mighty and your God is awesome. Your God is awesome. Really, Gideon, think about it. He takes 300 men he had 30,000 and 10,000, and finally he had 300 men. And he defeated a million-man army with 300 men. How did he do it? That last statement, that last charge, God said, divide them up. Divide 300 up into hundreds. 100, 100, 100. Trumpet, pitcher, shout, break the pitchers. Armies of the Lord and of Gideon, just shout that out. See, Gideon had an inside man. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord allowed him to hear the dream of two Midianites saying, I had a dream. What was it? Big boulder just came down and crashed, and Gideon's going to defeat us. He is going to defeat us tomorrow. I know he is. That's all Gideon needed to hear was proof that God's working on that side and he's working on this side. That's why God said, I don't want a bunch of men winning this battle. I want to get the credit for it. And God still wants to get the credit for it. Not by might or by power, but by his Spirit. That's why he fills us with the Holy Ghost. So if you walk in here on Sunday and you feel just dead, you feel tired, or you feel lost, or you feel guilty, or you feel like you haven't lived up, stop before you come much further than that door and just say, Lord, I pray today that you just forgive me of all the things I haven't done right and anything I've done wrong, please. And know when you say it that you're acknowledging, you know, you may know what you're talking about. But say, God, forgive me. And if you have faith in God's ability to forgive, then you can walk in here as clean as anybody. Now, we don't want to do that every Sunday, right? We don't want to go out and, you know, get drunk and then come in and repent right there and do that every week. That's you know, that would be crazy. See, I know you know that, so we don't have to, again, explain it in detail. But walk in here regardless of what you're feeling and just know that God's accepted you because he wants you to walk out of here renewed in the Holy Ghost. But somebody needs the Spirit that you're going to help usher in with your praise. Somebody needs that. Somebody's going to need that. It was David's lack of stature and armor that glorified God in killing Goliath. David wasn't tall, wasn't big, wasn't a warrior, never been in a battle before. And God said, that's who I can use. I can use something that they will laugh at. And I felt like sometimes the devil was just laughing at me. We've all felt like that. You're no threat. I felt like that. We've all felt that lost before. And then God loves that kind of a stage because it gives God all the glory, all the glory. I thank God today for what he's done. 1 Corinthians, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. And things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. He's got this all figured out. And he's mighty and powerful in what he does. Jesus went around picking mainly fishermen. Go by the seaside and got some fishermen, those that were cut from the fabric of common life, but he built the church with these men. They weren't old men. These were young men. They all had issues and deficiencies. Every one of them did. But that made them perfect for the work of God, perfect for what God called them to do. They submitted to the Holy Ghost and allowed God to form them into the church that we still celebrate and are a part of today. See, the working of the Spirit in your life is about being honest and admitting where the battle is. See, a lot of times people will be fighting a battle, but they want to cover it up because they don't think anyone else has fought that battle. We've all fought the same battles. All right, just understand that. So just bring it to God. You don't got to confess everything to somebody, but you can just say, God, I need you to help me with my battlefield. I need you to help me with my problem, and I'm going to come through. and let's give it all to the Lord. Let us stand, shall we? Why don't we gather to the front, and I think we should end this with a nice praise to God and coming together. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That's not you. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. We didn't get it that way.